when she comes on to unmute.
Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I am your host, Stacey Emery, joining you live from Atlanta, Georgia, with my awesome co-host on the line, the amazing Mr. Billy Miller, a.k.a. Earl, and Ms. Kalina Brown are on the line with me, licensed psychologist counselor, Ms. Kalina Brown, on the line with me. So I'm very excited, as always, to speak with you, lovely gentlemen and ladies. And, you know, we talked about this last week. We started this series this month called Success Principles. And in Success Principles, I mean, it's such a general title. You can cover so much. And just in that alone, Success Principles, you can talk about different authors. You can talk about different habits. You can talk about so many different things. And so we're going to try, you know, this month to cover as much as we can, really basic things, practical things that anyone can put into action. If you're someone totally brand new to awareness and thought and consciousness, you know, if you're just the average individual that's looking to make changes and improvements in different areas of your life, whether you're already established as a business person, an author, you know, whatever it is that you may be doing right now or whatever it is that you may be aspiring to do, we're hoping that the principles and the habits that we're sharing over this month will help you to take whatever it is that you're doing to the next level. And keep in mind that everything that we cover on Mind Shift Talk Radio is strictly from our own perspective. You know, so we didn't write the rules, we didn't write the habits, we didn't write the laws. We are basically just telling you what we think about these things. We're telling you how we've been able to incorporate some of these habits into our own personal lives as well as our professional lives. And we would love to hear from you guys as well. We would love for you to share your perspective, share your insight. If there's anything that you'd like to share with us, if you have any questions, please feel free to call us at area code 347-989-0206. The lines are open for you to call in with any questions, concerns, comments, whatever it may be. So we are going to get started. You know, Billy, Kalina, is there anything you'd like to say before we get started with these habits? Because I'm ready to roll.
Just go ahead. I'm anxious to listen to what you have to say, Stacey.
Okay. You guys know I like to talk, so it's not an issue.
I'm ready to go.
Okay.
Everybody to Mind Shift Talk Radio, hit us in the chat room. Call us on the line.
Yeah, Billy. You're the chat man because I'm so not able to keep up with that chat for some reason. I'm just not really that techy, I guess, to be able to switch back and forth. You guys have different windows open. You guys do all that stuff between you and IO. I just can't keep up with all that, but that's yours. So I'm going to leave that to you.
Right.
But basically, this week, I want to talk about one of my favorite books, and you guys have heard me discuss this before. You know, I've talked to you guys about how much I love Stephen Covey. And The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, I mean, it's old. It's nothing brand new. The principles are not brand new, but I love the way that he's incorporated this stuff into his book, The 7 Habits. And again, I say it's not brand new because these are things that we've learned over time. These are things we were taught growing up. You know, these are things that we learn in school that sometimes we just don't know how to incorporate into our personal lives. You know, we look at interviews. We look at successful people on TV. You know, we read articles. We read interviews. We read biographies and so forth. And it's like, you know what, it sounds good. I love that that individual was able to do it, but I'm not sure that I can do that myself. And I think many people fall into that trap where it's like, okay, it looks good for that person, but I don't know if those principles will really apply to me. And so we're going to really break down the 7 habits and just show you how simple these steps are for for the basic individual, the basic average Joe or Joanne to get started with these things. And I hope that you will incorporate these things into your life. So first step, this is habit number 1. And he starts off the series talking about being proactive. Now, some people are like proactive, like, you know, what does that mean? So basically with proactive, when he's talking about being proactive, he's basically talking about being responsible, okay? And it's funny because in the book, he spells responsible different. It's like he has it as response, R-E-S-P-O-N-S-E, and then able, you know, A-B-L-E, response able. And basically what it means is that proactive individuals understand that they have to take responsibility for their lives. Now, you can think about some of your friends and family members you have, people that you've grown up with, people that you probably work with right now that always take that victim role. They play the victim role. You know, it's like, oh, woe is me. This person did that. This person did this. We're in a recession right now. You know, people are getting laid off. People are losing their homes. I can't do any better. You know, we just hear all these sad stories. And true indeed, you know, we are seeing several horrible events happening right now. You know, people are suffering. But there's a lot of people that are actually growing, that are excelling, and that are succeeding during this time as well. And so you have to ask yourself, am I taking a proactive approach or am I taking what he calls a reactive approach? Am I that person that's willing to take the first step to do things that are necessary to help me to get to the next level? Or am I going to just sit back and live life as if it's a waiting game? I'm going to sit, you know, on the sideline and just wait for someone to, you know, think about throwing the ball to me or something like that. How are you living your life? You know, I was looking at Facebook yesterday and looking at one of our friends, one of my Facebook friends, a person I truly admire, think he's doing great things, Chris Gloss. And he talked about how a friend of his made a comment to him at one point, well, asked him a question about a year ago and asked him, are you living or are you existing? And he said that question changed his mind, I mean his life, you know. And I was just like, it's such a simple question, but just think about how profound it is. Are you just living? Are you just existing? Like, are you just here every day, you know, just going through life as it is? Or are you actually living your life? Are you living it to the fullest? And so that's what proactive people do. They live their lives to the fullest. They don't sit on the sidelines. They're actually in the game. They're involved in the game. They're making the plays. They're making things happen. And so he basically talks about how, you know, we have to make sure that we're not just blaming external forces, but we're looking at really at choosing our own behavior on how we're going to approach things, how we're going to handle things. And he says one of the most important things that you can choose is what you say. You have to be very careful about the words that you speak. And, again, think of the people that you guys know. I'm sure, Billy, Queen, I'm sure you guys come across people every day that just have a whole bunch of negative things to say, right?
Right.
It's just always an issue. It's always a complaint. You're like, hey, how you doing? Oh, well, my leg hurt. My back hurt. You know, my husband didn't come home. It's just, it's something. You know, it's just like, God, can you just say it's a great day? Can you just believe it's a great day? You know, so you can tell, you know, what type of person you're dealing with based on the things that they say. And it says that a proactive person uses proactive language. So they say, they use statements such as, I can, I will, I prefer, you know, whereas the reactive person uses that reactive language. Oh, I can't. Oh, if I have to. If only I could. And I'm sure you guys can think of some people that fall into that category. So we make sure that we're all being proactive people, because in order for us to be effective in any area of our lives, we're going to have to first make the decision to be proactive. We have to make the decision to be responsible for our lives. We have to make the decision and the commitment to make things happen and not just wait for things to happen. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think that's a good point. A lot of people fail to take 100% responsibility, and especially when it comes to them being a victim of something, because what people need to know is their response is their responsibility. In other words, sometimes people react negatively because they were approached negatively. Well, they came at me like that. That's why, you know, I came at them like that. You know, or my husband, that's the reason that I'm acting like I am, because he's not acting right. And people fail to realize that their response is their responsibility. They have to take 100% responsibility, because if you constantly blame people, constantly blame God, constantly blaming some other thing, you're wasting energy that could be used to change yourself. You never change when you point. When all the blame is somewhere else, you never change. So it's a waste of time. So rather than blaming everything and everybody and everywhere, you know, take 100% responsibility and say, I'm going to change.
It's true. Because I know I had to check myself on that, because I remember the first time I read this, probably about 9 years ago or something like that, I read this, and I was like, I've always considered myself to be a proactive person. I've never really wanted to admit, at least, that I was a reactive person. And I think we all have some of that reactive person in all of us. You know, I don't think anyone is completely proactive 100% of the time, you know, and let me know if I'm wrong. But I just wanted to believe that I was that proactive person, that I was always doing what needed to be done in advance, that I was always planning ahead, that I wasn't waiting. But after I read that, I was like, you know what, I really need to check my language. And I caught myself. I started to really pay attention to the things I was saying. And I caught myself saying things like, well, if only it happens, you know, if only that'll happen, if only this could be, you know, or I'll see what this person does. And then the big one that I caught myself doing was saying, you made me do it. You made me act that way. He did this. She did that. And it's like, people don't make you act that way. You choose to act that way. It's the same way we choose to be successful. We choose to be great parents. We choose to be great managers. We choose to be entrepreneurs. We choose to be great students. Whatever it is, we used to make the choice to do that. And I was sitting there saying, you know, I remember getting into arguments, and I would say, well, they said this, and they did that, and they made me act that way. You know, at the end of the day, I still had a choice as to how I was going to respond to that situation. You know, and I love how he says that. Go ahead, Queen. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, I was just trying to find a way to jump in here. I think that, you know, I come from a perspective that may be a little different based on just what I do for the reason for breathing is to help bring some form of clarity to the world. Now, you made a very valid point, Stacey, and I think that when we think about the understanding of having choice and realizing that, as Billy said, our responsibility and our response, I think what happens is that for the most part, people are unaware of those abilities. And when you don't know that you don't know, then that creates the problem. And psychologically and emotionally, a lot of people live inside their own worldview, not even realizing that that's there. So for them, whatever position they take is valid. And it's very difficult to talk to someone about moving outside of their own worldview when they don't realize that they're in it. Because when you are able to say what you just said and come to the understanding that, wow, it's not them making me do it, it's me deciding to allow them to make me do it, then you became empowered. And when we realize, as Billy was saying, that our response is where our responsibility lies, then you become empowered. The situation that I see most every time is that people are unaware. I've had several conversations about behavior, and then people take the position that they know better. And my position is always, no, when you know better, you do better. And that's the issue with whatever we're talking about, whatever level of movement that you're attempting to make, you have to first recognize where you are in the process before you can move forward. So that's always been my issue with people, to somehow help them have some level of insight, because without that, you're pretty much fighting a losing battle, and you will get the negativeness, because for them, that is reality. That's how they live.
Definitely. And what about those people, though? I'm sorry, give me 1 second, but what about people that, in addition to that, you know, that point the finger and talk about blaming and so forth, what about those that are always concerned about things that they have no control over? Because I think that also falls into this proactive part. Because as a proactive individual, you know, it's really committed to success and whatever it may be, you're going to focus your energy on things that you have control over. But then you find some people that worry about so many other things that are going on that really, to me, are not very important. You know, I don't understand what it is that makes people get caught up in all the other things that really have no relevance to what it is.
Same thing that we're talking about is because they don't understand that. It's just like a mother or father of an adult child that's losing sleep because the child may not come home at a certain time. They don't even live in the house, but they have become so enmeshed, and that's the psychological term, when the barriers are really, really cloudy. You don't know which one child or the parent begins or the child ends. And really and truly, they have no control over whether or not that adult is in the house at a certain time, though, because they don't realize that that's where the power stops. They are really feeling it. The anxiety is real. The worry is real. And the work would be to help them come to a realization that no matter how much you pray, no matter how much you argue, you really don't have control in that place. So to go to them and have this conversation with them prior to them having insight, you're pretty much talking to a brick wall.
Yeah, definitely. Go ahead, Billy.
I was going to give an example of a situation that happened with me once. I had a friend that called me on the phone, and she was wanting this job. They had this supervisor position that was about to open.
Mm-hmm.
And she had wanted this job. It was better paid, you know, better benefits. And she had been wanting it for a while, and it finally came around the time for it to open, because every year it opens or whatever. And so she was talking about it, and then she was like, well, you know what, but I probably won't get it, though. They probably won't give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, they probably won't. I don't believe they'd give it to you either. Mm-hmm. Right? And she kind of paused, like, you know, like, whoa. Why you say that? I said, well, because you said it. And, you know, and I started explaining to her about the, you know, you have what you say, and the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. So once I told her that, that made her aware of that insight of what Kalina talking about, and then she changed her confession.
Mm.
You know, she started speaking positive. Oh, I'm going to get that job. That job is mine. She started claiming. And she started speaking more positive, and she got the job. But I don't believe that she would have changed her confession or to change anything if I wouldn't have brought that awareness of that she was going in the wrong direction with it.
And you know what's so funny about that is, like, sometimes people need you to step on their toes, and sometimes we need people to step on our toes in order for us to realize that we need to change certain behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I mean, just look about how she responded. It was like, whoa. You know, she thought me thinking, like, how could you even say something like that to me? You're supposed to be my friend. You
right.
know, why would you say that? But you have to step on people's toes. Sometimes we need that. We need people to check us. And that's why I say all the time, it's so important to have those people around you that will hold you accountable. You know, if some people are in your life that will hold you accountable because they truly care about you, they're genuinely concerned about your happiness, about your success, and there's some people that just want to step all over your feet just because it hurts and they can do it, you know. So you have to be mindful about, you know, what type of individuals you have in your life, but it's important to have people around you that will support you and hold you accountable and not just be a cheerleader and tell you everything's great, but tell you what you need to hear and not necessarily what you want to hear, you know what I mean?
Right.
And can I say this too?
Mm-hmm.
All of what we're talking about we're talking about learned behavior. And for, I know you, Stacy, I'm not sure about Billy and anyone else who may be listening that have young children, please hear me say that you teach proactiveness at a particular developmental stage. And when we talk about all the adults that may not have this particular behavior set, this particular skill set, then we could rewind the video and begin to realize it's because they were not taught that. And in my particular profession, I prefer working with children as young as 2 and 3 years old, because I understand that that is the most crucial time to give them the skills that they will need later on. And hear me also say that it's not impossible to learn any skill that you don't have at a particular age. However, like most anything, it's easier to learn them in the beginning, because mm-hmm. what we have to do as adults is unlearn a lot of non-productive, reactive skills and behavior. Then in order to incorporate the proactive skills, it's going to take a lot of work and practice. Doable, absolutely. Achievable, no doubt. Difficult,
definitely.
Extremely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And you know, so I'm going to, I'm thinking about what Billy said just now when he was talking about his friend and talking about, you know, how she was saying these negative things and how much power we really do have in our words. And it just takes us into the next habit that he discusses, which is habit number two. And habit number two talks about beginning with the end in mind. So like Billy said, you already have to declare it. You already have to speak life into it as if it already is. And for me, when I think about beginning with the end in mind, I read through that part. It was really about having faith. It was about, you know, using your imagination, already living it, already feeling it, and believing that it's possible even though it's not present right now. You know, even though your eyes can't see it right now, but in your mind you see it. And Stephen Covey talks about something that's very important. He talks about how for anything to be able to be manifested, there's two different creations that take place. There's a mental creation, and then there's the physical creation. So basically, mentally, we have to create that and develop that blueprint. You know, whatever it is that we say that we want to acquire or achieve, whatever it may be, we have to already feel it. We have to already act as if it already is. And we hear this all the time. You know, we hear it in church. You know, we hear it from our parents. I know I've heard it all the time. I still hear it all the time. You know, it's like you have to act as if it already is. So, for example, if you sit there and you're thinking about a promotion at work, and I talked about this last week about that individual that worked at the bank and wanted to be a bank manager, and even though he was a part-time teller in a bank, he had to already carry himself as if he was a bank manager in order for it to happen. He had to already see himself in that position. And many times, unfortunately, we say we want certain things and we want to be a certain way, but we don't really see it. We can't feel it. We can't truly taste it. You know, we can't really even imagine what it would be like to be at a totally different place. You know, we look at people on TV, for example, and you're like, gosh, I can only imagine what it's like to live in a house like that or to drive a car like that. But when I say things like that, I can actually feel myself. I tell people all the time, I already have this vision of my dream home, okay? And I can feel myself walking on those floors in the middle of the night, going downstairs trying to get some cookies or something. I can feel that cold floor. You know, I can feel, you know, everything that I can smell the furniture. I can smell the leather. I can smell the wood. I can go outside and the dew on the grass. It's like it's so real to me, you know, when I think about this dream home. And that's how I know that I will have this at some point. I know I'm going to live in a home because it's so real to me, you know. And some people just sit there and they wish and they wish and they wish, but they don't even believe that it can be possible for them. And so in habit number two, he's talking about, okay, you're already taking this proactive approach. You're already claiming, you're already taking the steps necessary to be responsible, to start putting things into motion. But now in step number two, while you're putting things into motion, although they may not be manifested yet, you're acting as if they already are. You know, and I love that because I just love the part when he talked about that mental and then that physical, because, of course, there cannot be a physical creation if we don't believe in our minds first. It ties back into the faith piece. It ties back into, you know, going back to being a child, just having that imagination. Like I say this all the time. You look at children. I listen to my son talking sometimes, and it's just like, wow. He can just take, you know, something so simple and just create a whole story out of it. He can have a little bitty McDonald's toy and just come up with this whole story behind it. And it's just like, wow. And it's like, why have we lost that as adults? Many of us have lost that ability to be able to imagine and to dream and to visualize things. And I think it's important for us to be able to get back to that place, you know. And like I said all the time, we get caught up and boggled down in the responsibilities of life that we forget what it's like to just have fun. And for me, that's what it's about. You got to have that balance, you know. Like they say, you work hard, but you play harder. It's the same thing when you're talking about your goals or whatever it is that you want to do. You have to be able to just have fun and go with the flow. You know, you've already put things into place. Now I'm going to imagine what it's going to be like, and I'm going to make sure that that's key. And I think that's what helps you to stay on track. When you can truly envision it and believe it, it helps you to continue to stay on track with whatever it is that you need to do. And, you know, for me all the time, I say, don't get caught up. I tell people all the time, don't get caught up in what you see right now, because, you know, whatever is going on right now is not where you're going to be at the end. You already know what your goals are. You just imagine yourself getting there, and you'll continuously do things to get you there. But don't give up just based on what you see right now, because if you take that approach and you just give up, as soon as your bank account gets to, you know, a few dollars, you would just be like, it's over. And I have a friend of mine, I love when he says this all the time. He's like, you know, he won't sit there and say I'm broke. He'll sit there and say, I have money, it's just not tangible right now. And I like that. You know, he's like, I have it. I just can't get to it right now. And I'm like, that's right. Whereas you hear those reactive people, oh, gosh, I'm broke. Oh, I can't do this. It goes all back into that negative self-talk, and it turns into the self-fulfilling prophecy, you know. So that's pretty much what habit number two is, you know, just beginning with the end in mind. But have you guys caught yourself there?
Yeah, you know, in the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10, the New Century Version says, from the beginning I told you what would happen in the end. A long time ago I told you things that have not happened. When I plan something, it happens. What I want to do, I will do it. So even God declared the end in the beginning. So likewise, we need to declare the end in the beginning. Just like when we're writing down our goals, when we write down our goals, we should write down how it looks after the change. You know, how does your life look once you've reached the destination? That's what you're writing down. You're writing down even before you even start the goal, when you're writing, because that's the first step. When you're writing down the goal, you're writing down what it looks like once it manifests. And that reminds me of a bus, you know, like a city bus or a tour bus. It has on the front of it not where it's at, but where it's going, regardless of where it's at. And so we have to have that foresight. Is where I'm going is more real to me than where I'm at right now.
Oh, I love that. I love that whole bus thing. I love that. Okay.
And so your vision has to be more real to you than what you're seeing right now.
And again, developmentally, that's where you understand puzzles in a child's play, because if you look at most any puzzle box, it has the finished picture on it, and then it gives you the pieces. And when you start off in early childhood, those pieces are much larger, but they still have a place in a form, and they give the child that finished picture so that they can begin to understand the process of putting that together. And as I shared before, that is when we begin to understand that all of what we're talking about is really a piece of what should have happened at a particular developmental stage. And when most of us who are real clear of what developmental appropriate understanding looks like, we miss it, or we don't get really enough information about it that we can reinforce it so that we will have these things when we get to the stage where they become very pertinent in our lives. So I was really taken aback when I was first introduced to that's what the reasonings behind playing with puzzles were about. Pretty much exactly what we're talking about, understanding what the end results are going to be and what steps you need to take to make that picture become a reality in your life.
Definitely. So you know, basically, you know, for anyone, I know we're talking about, you know, different things in terms of this one habit. But basically what I want you to be able to take away from this, from that second habit, is that you need to be able to just, when you're beginning with the end in mind, it means that you're going to plan your days, you're going to plan your projects, you're going to plan your activities, whatever it is that you're doing, you're going to plan it with a clear vision of where it is that you want to go. Whatever that destination is, as Billy said, you're on that bus. Where is that bus taking you? Don't get caught up in where you are right now, but I want you to clearly focus on where it is that you're looking to go. What's the final destination? And once you understand what that final destination is, then you'll be able to plan your activities and everything else around that. So that's what we want to do. We want to begin with the end in mind. We know where we're going. We're going to be proactive. We're going to change our language, and we're going to make sure that we're doing the things necessary to get us to that next level. And another great thing that to do in that step, he talked about this, and I've done it personally, is developing a personal mission statement. And he talked about how important it is to have a personal mission statement, because that personal mission statement is like a blueprint. It is like a roadmap. If you're on a bus, it is that guide that tells you where it is that you're going, and it helps to hold you accountable, because now you've written out your plan. You've written out your mission. You're basically putting it on paper and saying what it is that whatever it is that your purpose is and whatever it is that you're working towards. And many times we talk about goal setting, and, you know, you hear it all the time, like write it down, and I really believe many of us don't do it. But it's important to do it. When you have that personal mission statement, you know, that is your oath. That is your promise. This is what I'm looking to do. Not only looking to do, this is what I must do. This is the purpose that I have to fulfill. And so you want to hold yourself accountable with that personal mission statement. And that helps you in terms of that second habit with beginning with the end in mind, because you've already created, you've already planned out the destination, and now you know what you need to do to make that a reality. And then finally, the third one that I want to share tonight, because of course we can't cover all these, but I do want to go into the third one, which is putting first things first. And for me personally, this is a dear one because it's something that I still struggle with now, and it's about setting priorities. And the reason I say it's a struggle for me personally is because I'm one of those people that tend to feel like everything is a priority. You know, I can have 10 different things to do, and it's sometimes challenging for me to determine what is a priority out of those 10 priorities. And so in step number three, in habit number three, he talks about putting first things first and saying, you know, it's all right to say no. It's okay to say no to certain things. You can't overextend yourself. And I can't even say that sentence with a straight face. It makes me laugh because I think he's talking. He's just all in my face with that sentence right now. He is just really showing out, like, you know, do not overextend yourself. But, you know, it's like I feel like he's talking to me, and he's basically saying it's okay to say no. You know, and the first habit, you've already determined that you're in charge and you're creating things. And in that second habit, where he talked about, you know, that mental creation, but now he's saying, you know, this habit, this third habit of putting first things first is where that second creation takes place. This is where that physical creation takes place. And so this is where both of those habits come together. But really, this habit is about life management. You know, it's about your purpose. It's about your values. It's about, you know, all of your priorities. And you have to ask yourself, what are first things? Because you're putting first things first, but what are those first things to you? And you have to ask yourself that, because what's first, those things that are considered first things to me may not be first things for Billy, may not be first things for Kalina. So it really depends on the individual. And so this is where it takes some soul searching for me personally, you know, guys, because I'm a busybody by nature. I feel like I constantly have to be doing, and I have to catch myself and say, stop doing and start being, you know, because sometimes we think that activity means that we're going to be effective, you know, and that's not necessarily the case. Sometimes you see people that are just all over the place. I've seen it in work, you know, working in different places, and you just see people that start projects, and they're here one minute, they're at the copy machine the next minute, they're over there by the fax machine another minute, they're all over the place, and then at the end of the day, they're exhausted, hair is all messed up, got them running the pantyhose, and didn't accomplish anything in that day, you know?
Right.
So we want to make sure that we don't get caught up in that trap, and also we want to make sure that we're able to say no. It takes so much courage to be able to say no to people. For me personally, I have this issue of not wanting to step on people's toes and not wanting to hurt people's feelings, and my sister gets on me about this all the time because my sister always tells me I'm way too emotional. She's like, you're always worried about people's feelings. You're always worried about people's emotions. You know, you just have to take all the emotion out of it and just handle business. She's very straightforward like that, and I admire that in her, and I want to be more like that. But I get so caught up, you know, trying to take care of what I said, all these priorities, and sometimes I miss it. I miss the mark.
You know, Jesus, the story, which is a popular story, but when Jesus was with Mary and Martha, and he came and they was preparing dinner for him, and Martha was in there, you know, getting everything ready and cleaning and, you know, doing all of these things. And the things she was doing was not bad. It was good things that she was doing. But Mary was sitting at his feet, right, absorbing, you know, just whatever he had to say. And Martha got upset and was like, Jesus, won't you tell Mary to come in here and help me? And he said, Martha, Martha, you're distracted with busyness, pretty much what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But Mary has found that one thing that was needed. See, Martha, you had to be careful not to put the work over as a priority over God's presence. You know, that's an example of prioritizing. We're doing good things, but we're not doing the great thing. The great
mm-hmm.
thing was for her to be absorbed in what Jesus had. He said that the one thing was needed. You know, this was the most important thing right now, but you're doing all of these other things, which are good, but it wasn't great. So we had to learn how to say no to the good and yes to the great.
That's the truth. And like I said, it's a struggle for me because I talked to one of my friends. You know, I think she's awesome in terms of her tenacity and her perseverance and just how committed she is to her business and her success. And sometimes she'll listen to me, you know, she'll say, you know, she'll call and we're talking and she's like, hey girl, how's it going? How's your day going? And I can just ramble off, you know, a whole day's task, my whole task list. Like, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this, I got that. Then I've got to do this and I've got to go, you know, it's just like, I'm just going, like it never stops. And she'll say, Stacey, okay, when are you going to say no to certain things? Like, when are you going to say enough already? And I was like, what do you mean? She was like, you can't do everything. And I was like, well, all of these things are important, and I have to do all of these things because they're necessary. And for me, it's still a challenge for me to let go. Like you just said, you know, you sit there and you get so caught up in the busyness. And it's funny because I know Kalina's going to tie this back to our programming and things that we saw growing up. I know she's going to go there because I can admit that because I actually do get that trait from my mother. My mother is like that. My mother, she can't sit still ever. We bring her here on vacation and we're like, you know, I'm like, Mom, just sit down and just relax. And I may go to the store or something and I'll come back. My mom has already done laundry. She's cleaned the house. And my mom is like, you know, how our parents are, old school. I mean, they won't just use a mop. She wants to get on hands and knees to scrub. And I'm just like, whoa. Like, she just can't sit still. And it's funny because when she finally does sit still, she seems so restless. Like, there has to be something else. And I have the same guilty habit. When I'm sitting still, it's hard for me to relax and just do, you know, it's not really doing nothing because it's really important. It's doing something. I need that time to relax and to re-energize myself, but it's a challenge for me to do it. In order for me to really get some rest or relaxation, I have to just be someplace, like, I have to just be secluded. You know, where I can't get to a cell phone, where I can't check email, where I just can't do anything because I'm constantly thinking about my goals. I'm constantly thinking about what it is that I need to do next. I'm constantly thinking about that next phase of my life. And I'm thinking I'm so proactive. I'm planning all these things. I'm taking these steps, and I forget to just sit down and relax. I forget to just sit down and continue to stand in that faith and trust, okay, God has already made the promise. Now I just need wait. I need to wait for him to deliver, you know. But I'm sitting here thinking I
keep moving. Do you really want me to respond to that, or just go okay?
You know, I would like you to say okay, but just because I know you, I know you're not going to say okay. So I'm going to let you go ahead and just beat me up. Just tear me up, and I need to hear it. So go ahead. Tell me.
No, it's not that at all. And this is something I say a lot because. I absolutely am a therapist. I do not play one on TV. So that's what's so interesting about my life is because when I hear people, it's very difficult for me to not hear them from a clinical standpoint because that's who I am. And there's so much you just said. And because I am your guest, I'm going to say we really have to talk offline.
I already know.
This is the thing, you know, and all of what we're talking about has to do with our ability to function in our lives, all of what we're talking about. And we get these abilities from our experiences, indirectly or directly. Now, the thing about that is at some point we want to be able to legitimately assess whether or not our skill set is absolutely healthy. And for someone who does not have the ability to make that assessment, at least have the insight to say, I may need to go sit down in front of a professional and have a conversation with them to really realize whether or not I need professional help to relearn healthier behaviors. Because just an example, when we diagnose someone who has what we call hyperverbal behavior or racing thoughts, those things are real-life behaviors of someone who is in a psychotic state. And we don't want that. That's not a healthy state to be in.
Uh-uh.
So when we start listening to people describe how their day looks and what they do on a day-to-day basis, then we begin to put together a treatment plan to alleviate certain behaviors because we want you to function at a healthy level most of the time. we all have days when we may be a little bit manic, and we all have days when we may be a little bit depressed, though we don't want those days to outnumber the days where we're pretty much stable and we are able to rest and we are able to put things down and we are able to say no without any residual guilt feelings. And we do feel accomplished even if everything on our to-do list is not checked off. And we do find ourselves to be proactive most of the time. And when we tend not to be, we're okay with the fact that it's just that day. It's not who we are all the year. So there's several ways that we can begin to assess healthy behavior. So, like, you know, I think one of our conversations we talked about, well, how do I fit into your conversations no matter what the topic is? And my response to you was something like, whatever you're talking about, Stacey, psychology kind of fits into it. Because psychology is really how we do life, whatever we're doing. So that's why a lot of times I listen more than I speak, because when I open my mouth, I usually get myself in trouble.
Okay, and I know you're sitting there analyzing.
I don't believe I'm in trouble. That's a joke.
Hmm? You talk about sitting in a chair to talk. I mean, if I come talk to you, I mean, I'll be laying down for some time because just on this habit alone, I know it's an issue. You know, it's like ended up saying, I'm an alcoholic. I'm a busy bee. I'll say it now. I am a busy bee and I need help. You know, it's a problem. But I can honestly say I have made improvements in this area. It doesn't happen overnight, you know, and I'm sure some of you guys are listening, and I am not the only one, but there's hope. That's all I'll say. There is hope.
Insight is what you have, and that is, as I said earlier, a major step for anyone to be working with any situation. We all have situations that we work with on a regular basis, myself included, and I'm very happy to be able to say that I am human and I am not relieved from any of the human experiences of anyone else. So we all have them. Those of us that tend to have insight begin to work on them just a little sooner than someone who may not have insight. That's the biggest difference.
Definitely. And again, I thank you guys for being on, because I really believe that you guys balance me out. Because I love Billy's perspective, you know, from a spiritual perspective. I always need that. It's so necessary. And I feel that you feed into me spiritually, and I love that, and I appreciate that. And then, Kalina, you just understand. You just, you know, in simple terms, you can break it down, and it's just like, and it's funny because I already know that you're going to get me in some kind of way, and so I can catch myself when I'm saying certain things, because it's like you're that little angel on my shoulder. What would Kalina say? You know how people wear the T-shirts, what would Jesus do? What would Kalina say? So I appreciate that, you know, but that's all that we're going to be able to cover for today, you know, well, for tonight. And these are only the first three steps. I encourage you guys to join us again next week, because we will cover more habits of this book of the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I want to continue on this topic because I think it's necessary. I think he shares a lot of great points and a lot of great tools in his book. If you have not been able to read it, I encourage you to read it. I've read it several times. I will continue to read it because it's important. As I said, as many times as I've read this book, I still struggle with habit number 3. You know, but as I've said just now, you know, I'm making improvements. I'm moving in the right direction, and that's enough for me to celebrate that. So I thank you guys for listening in and joining us tonight. You know, if you know of anyone else that would benefit from the topics that we discuss on Mindshift Talk Radio, I definitely encourage you to spread the word. You know, you can go on blogtalkradio.com, Mindshift. You'll find us there. You can go to mindshifttalkradio.com. But basically, just tell people what it is that we're about. You may want to just hit the share button. Join us on the chat, as Billy said. Call in. You know, we're here because we want to share different perspectives, but it really can help you to get to that next level. So we want to know what you think. Send us a message and let us know how this show is impacting you. You know, for more information with Billy Miller, go ahead and look him up online at thewordisyourlife.com. Billy, you also have a blog now, right?
Yeah, I have two of them, billyreads.blogspot.com and billywrites.blogspot.com. Billy, B-I-L-L-I-E.
Awesome. So you can find us online. You can find us on Facebook. You can find Kalina Brown on Facebook. Send her a message. Let us know what you think. Share your thoughts. But as always, thank you guys for joining us. We wish you much love, much peace, much success. And we look forward to speaking to you guys next week on Mindshift Talk Radio. Take care. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Mindshift Radio.